In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were singing Christmas carols. And one carol that we hear every Christmas is the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. You know the one. It talks about partridges and pear trees, swans a-swimming, and lords a-leaping. Chances are you haven't seen any geese a-laying or maids a-milking over the last few days. But the 12 days that the song talks about are just about over. Today is January the 6th, the Epiphany. And the word Epiphany refers to something made manifest or something that is revealed. And when you come up with a brilliant idea, or when you make a discovery, or when you see something that you've never seen before, you might say you've had an Epiphany moment. And that's what the church celebrates on this day, the ways that Jesus reveals God to us. We typically think about the visit of the wise men on this day, and that's the main epiphany associated with this observance. This week I learned that this day is celebrated in different ways around the world. In Latin America, the day is called Dia de los Tres Reyes. I know my accent is not the best. It's hard for Southerners sometimes to speak Spanish, but it translates as Three Kings Day. And it's a much bigger deal in those countries than it is here. That's where we get the custom of the king's cake and the baby Jesus, finding the Jesus in the cake. In some countries, you get gifts on Epiphany instead of on Christmas. And children are told to leave hay for the three kings' camels. In some traditions, the kings leave three presents for the children, just like Jesus received three gifts in the passage that we read a moment ago from Matthew. Well, in our culture, we don't exchange gifts on Epiphany, but it's not unusual in our part of the church to have a celebration. Later today, we have an Epiphany party, a family-friendly night here at church with dinner and fire pits in the parking lot and children's activities. In our worship tonight, we're going to put ourselves in the place of the wise men and move about and have a procession with scripture and with prayers as we follow the star like the wise men we read about a moment ago. In all of the Bible, these wise men, they stand out as unique individuals. Some say they were kind of like magicians, while others say they were like early scientists. Well, there wasn't really science, of course, in their day, but they studied the natural world, and they definitely studied the stars. They were probably from Arabia, although there's some debates about that. They saw something in the sky that made them curious, something that they couldn't explain, and so they set out on a journey of exploration and a journey of discovery. And they followed what they observed in the sky. They left their homeland, and they traveled to Judea. As they went, they followed the stars above. And did you notice in the passage from Matthew that along the way, they actually had to stop and ask for directions? See, once they make it to Jerusalem, they stop in and they ask the locals for help. Now, eventually, they will be led on by the star to Bethlehem, but first they stop. They stop in and see King Herod. After all, King Herod was the one in charge. He was the one with political and military power. He was the one who would know what's going on in that region. So the wise men stop in and ask him about the newborn king. They say, "We saw his star rising in the east." And so they ask, "Where is the child?" Unfortunately, their question will lead to the murder of many children and lead to Mary and Joseph's flight to Egypt. See, Herod is alarmed at the possibility of another king being born in his jurisdiction. And Herod has no idea about what's been going on, no idea about the prophecy that's just been fulfilled. And so Herod calls in the religious authorities, the religious people who would know, the chief priests and the scribes, and Herod learns it was supposed to take place in Bethlehem. And so he tells the wise men, and on their way out the door, Herod says, "Hey, when y'all find the newborn king, come back and tell me because I want to worship him too." Of course, that was a lie and a trick. The wise men figure out that Herod didn't have the best of intentions, and so they don't come back and tell him. But what we see here is even in the first century, they had dishonest politicians. When the wise men stop in Jerusalem, something unusual happens. The wise men are brought into dialogue with the local people. So wisdom from outside comes in the form of these magi. The wise men got most of the way on their journey, but then they needed to stop and ask for help. And the people in Jerusalem, well, neither the religious authorities nor the everyday people on the streets, they hadn't noticed the star in the east. They had no clue. They had no idea about what was going on in Bethlehem, just down the road from where they were. The people in Jerusalem needed the visit from the wise men, and they needed their wisdom. This reminds us that the wisdom of others can guide us toward truth. And in a way, we're kind of like those people in Jerusalem. See, there are things in life that we don't know or see, things in life that we don't understand. And we all need some help. We all need some wisdom along the way. Maybe it's in our professional life or professional career. We need someone to help guide us and shepherd us, somebody who's been there and done that, and they can lead us and guide us. Or maybe it's back in our days growing up in school, and it was teachers or coaches or college professors. Maybe it's a family member or a relative, someone from your family that you look up to. See, we all have people that have helped us and guided us in life. And so, who has that been for you? Who's guided you and who has pointed you in the right direction? See, the story teaches us that those individuals, those teachers and those mentors and those guides that we've had from time to time, they were following what they were supposed to do in life. See, they were sent to teach us, to help us discover, to help us learn, and to guide us toward truth. There's another lesson, I think, here for us as members of the church. The wise men were outsiders. They were from a different background, from a different culture. They come from a different religious tradition. They brought wisdom from outside of Jerusalem to the people about what was going on right down the road in Bethlehem. And so we might ask ourselves, what can we learn from other people? What can we discover from other people about what's going on just right down the road from us? What can we discover from other people if we listen and if we're open to new ideas? And even what can we learn from people of other religious traditions? Almost 50% of Episcopalians come from another denomination. So about half of us were raised in a different church, like the Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or Catholic or Lutheran. And we've found our way into the Episcopal Church. And there have been people along the way that helped us and guided us. At some point, we listened to the wisdom of an outside person and we followed their advice. And you might say that we followed God's leading in our lives to be in the Episcopal Church and to be at this place. See, the story of the wise man teaches us that we're all on a journey. We're all trying to follow the way that leads to Jesus. And the places where we've been, the places where we've worshiped and spent time in those communities and with those people, well, those are stops that we've made along the way. Places where we've learned some things and made some discoveries. Places where we've found some wisdom. See, other churches have been part of each of our journey. And if we come from outside the Episcopal Church, well, there's probably some sifting that we've had to do and let go of some beliefs or some practices. And that's been part of our growth, part of our learning, as we've made new discoveries in the Episcopal Church, part of our own epiphany, part of how Jesus has been revealed to us in new ways. There's also a tradition that developed in the early church that suggests the wise men weren't just from one place or from one country, but they were from different parts of the world, one from Asia, one from Africa, one from Europe. See, Jerusalem is at the intersection of these three continents. And in the early church, some taught that just as the three continents come together at Jerusalem, the three wise men came together at Jerusalem, representing the three portions of the known world. And in this teaching, the wise men represent all the different people of the earth coming to Jesus. Their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh represent the wealth of the nations These were the gifts of the wealthy. And so the best that the world had to offer was presented to Jesus as a tribute. And so we see in the story how the wise and the learned and the educated people of the earth come to Jesus to see and to worship the Son of God. The story teaches that the good news to us about Jesus, that he's made known to all cultures, all nations, all people. To rulers like King Herod, to those of great learning like the wise men, all the way down to the people of Jerusalem and everyday people like me and like you. On this Epiphany Sunday, you see, we're called to be like the wise men. Called to be faithful and called to follow and to worship Jesus when and where we find him. And just as we may have been guided toward truth by other people, well, you might be the one to give guidance in someone's life. See, we're all called to reveal Jesus, called to help people see and to discover him. And so who do you know that needs Jesus? Who do you know that needs to be guided toward him? It can be something as simple as an invitation to church or to men's group or to a Crucio weekend or to our parish retreat next month. We can all share the wisdom we have and the truth that we've discovered, that we all need to find Jesus and that we find him here in this place. So on this Epiphany, may Jesus be revealed in each of us. May he be revealed in our community. And may we help other people to find him. Amen.